place. We're glad that you're here this morning. We're in a series of lessons on Sunday morning called Partnering with God's Provision. We started it last week. We'll continue on this morning, Partnering with God's Provision. I was thinking about some great partnerships, so just kind of make a spoof on some things. I think sometimes it's a little bit heavy, some things that we have to say. And so I always try to look, my personality is to find sometimes an easy way or sometimes a humorous way. So I was thinking this past week about some great partnerships. Got a great partnership up here we'll show you this morning. How many of y'all ever heard of those guys, huh? Pretty good partnership. Been around for a long time. As a kid, we loved those. How about these guys, huh? Good partnerships. All the kids in the room, they know about those. How about this one? Oh, Ken and Barbie. I don't know if that's a good partnership or not, but you know, we're really hooked up with a God that's better than a Crime Stopper. We're hooked up with God that's better than a friend, and we're hooked up with God that's better than a lover, a boyfriend, or a girlfriend. God invites you and I to be a partner with Him in things that are not only way beyond natural things, but are spiritual things, supernatural things. And He invites you and I to come into accord, agreement, and a partnership with Him. And a partnership is an amazing thing. If you've ever been in a partnership with somebody, the key that you would look for, that I would look for, is being in a partnership with somebody that's stronger, smarter, wiser, more wealthy, if it's a business adventure. Be with somebody that knows something I don't. And so when we come into partnership with God through the new birth we talked about last week, you are entering into an agreement, an accord, a covenant, a partnership with somebody who created the earth, who created the worlds, who knows everything, whose wisdom is infinite, who always knows the highest and the best in every situation, who knows no end, who every book that's ever been written, He gave the author the wisdom in that book, who knows, He knows everything. He's been everywhere. He knows no time. And so you are in partnership, the believer in partnership, with somebody of infinite wisdom, infinite knowledge, infinite wealth, infinite counsel, infinite help. The question we probably got to ask ourselves is, how much of that partnership are we really taking advantage of? Last week we talked about a guy named Adam, the first man, Eve, the first woman. We talked about that God entered a partnership with them, making them, put them on the earth. He told them to be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue the earth, and have dominion. So that partnership agreement is still at work in our lives when we're connected with God. You've got the right to be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue any situation that comes against you, and you've got the right to dominate any negative force or faction that comes against you, your family, your body, your mind, whatever. You can dominate and win any situation if you stay connected and hooked up with your partner. That's the key, with your partner. We talked about when sin came, when Adam and Eve fell, we found out how the snake came, Lucifer came, and he deceived them, and that partnership, that agreement was broken. God still worked with man. We found out that there was a curse on Lucifer, the devil. There was then a curse that came to man, a curse that came to the woman, a curse that came to the whole creation. And we talked about that the whole creation is even groaning, waiting for the adoption, it says, of the sons of God. Waiting for our full adoption, waiting for this new heaven and this new earth that the Bible says is going to come one day when Jesus comes back after 1,000-year rule and reign, and He makes all things new, and we then come to rule and reign again with Him. The earth is waiting for that. There's groanings. It's not functioning. The earth is not functioning the way that God called it to function. But God sent Jesus to the earth so that He would not necessarily redeem the earth, but He would redeem the man, me and you, the woman, you and I, on the earth, so that when we're even living in a cursed environment, it doesn't take much to figure it out. We're living in a dark place. We're living in a dark time. God did not make it this way. That's just where we find ourselves right now. But the man and the woman of God can live above the darkness, can live above the fear, can live above the sin, not because you're so smart, not because of your great education, but because of who you get partnered with. That's the key, is staying connected with your partner. Now, look on the screen real quick. Let's talk about partnering with God is partnering with the Word. We talked about this last week. Just give you a little quick review. Partnering with God is partnering with the Word. We said in John chapter 1, verse 12 through 14, write that scripture down, follow along with me maybe. John 1, 12 through 14. But as many as received Him, meaning Jesus, to them He gave the right to become children of God. To those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but were born of God. And the Word, capital W Word, this is the person Jesus, the Word, became flesh and dwelt among us. And we, the author says, John, we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We said this last week, look on the screen. Your first right as a child of God is to be who God made you to be. That's your first right as a child of God. You've got a right, a privilege, you've got then responsibility that comes with the privilege to be who God made you to be. Don't let anybody ever tell you you cannot be or accomplish whatever God's called you to accomplish. You can be who God called you to be. You can go where God wants you to go. You can do what God wants you to do. Again, if you stay connected with your partner. If you follow the partner's wisdom, if you follow the partner's leading, and the partner will never tell you anything apart from what He's already revealed in the Word. He will not go against His Word. So when you partner with Jesus in the new birth, you become born again. You give your heart to God. You become a new creature in Christ Jesus. You repent of your sins. You say, as I did, as many of you have done in the room, you said, I'm tired of going my own way. I'm broken. I'm confused. I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. When you repent of your sin, you then enter a partnership with Jesus Christ, with God the Father, and with the person of the Holy Spirit. At that moment, all of heaven's resources are yours. But you and I then enter what we would call to be like a baby Christian. We don't know anything. We really don't know sometimes what's exactly right, what's exactly wrong. The Word is going to clear all that up. So number one, when you're born again, you partner with Jesus through the new birth. Then number two, there must be a partnership with the Word. This is where you're going to grow. Day by day, week by month, year by year, your growth will be unlimited if, again, you stay connected to Jesus through the new birth and to His Word. He won't violate His Word. He won't go back on His Word. The Bible says His Word will not come or return to Him void or inoperative. If He sends His Word, and His Word is to whoever, if you take His Word, it'll work in your life. Makes no difference of your past, your race, your age. The Word will always work. You go to Home Depot today, and there's a thing called seed. We talked about this last week. There's a thing called seed. We're going to find today, and we found out last week, that Jesus called the Word seed. We talked about a parable from Mark chapter 4. He talked about Jesus told a parable, as He did lots of times. He'd use natural illustrations as He's walking with His disciples and all the crowds that are following Him. He talked about, you know, agriculture. He talked about fishing. He talked about mountains. He talked about all kinds of things that the people could identify with. Well, he in one instance in Mark chapter 4, He talks about a sower sowing seed. And He says, some fell by the wayside. The birds came immediately, ate it up. Some fell among where there was rocks. There wasn't much soil. And He says the soil was so thin or so little that through heat, the hotness came. The temperature rose and the seed grew a little bit, but then burned off. And then He said the third type of seed, as the sower sowed seed, it landed amongst thorns and thistles. And the seed grew, but thorns and thistles grew up. And the thorns and the thistles overtook the seed. But He said there's a fourth kind of seed. And He said it was sown on good soil that bore good fruit, 30, 60, 100-fold return. And He said, if you've got ears to hear, you know, listen to what I'm telling you. You've got to accept the Word, receive the Word. But He really talking about, as He explained the parable we looked at last week, the soil is our heart. The soil is what we believe. The soil is what's receptive to the Word of God. So even this morning, anytime you're reading, the Word that is called seed has the potential to produce, has the potential to grow, has the potential to develop, or has the potential to be taken away, stolen away. The enemy coming, as Jesus said, immediately to take that seed out. Jesus calls the Word seed. Then we found Paul's gospel, Paul's not gospel, his letter in Galatians, He calls Jesus himself the seed. He calls him the capital S seed, and that we are then the seed of Abraham, little s. That all the promises God made to this man Abram, and we'll talk about them in a few minutes, were really not designated to you and me. They were designated to a man named Jesus, who then, by his sacrificial death, would then bless us. The seed, the word, the power of Jesus would then spread to all of us. The seed is Jesus, and the seed is the word of God. How much of that understanding is working in us, and how much we're allowing it to work in us, will be how much fruit we're producing in our lives. Mark chapter 4, everybody. Mark 4, verse 24 through 25. Jesus, on the heels of this parable, he picks up and he keeps teaching along the same lines. Notice what he says. Pretty sobering. He says, "Take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you who hear. To you who hear, more will be given. Whoever has, to him, more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away." Notice what he says. Take heed what you hear. Everything in life is going to hinge on you hearing God's word. If you hear the word in a small measure, that's what will be measured back to you. But if you hear the word in an increased measure, you have ears to hear what God's saying. You have ears to hear and be open to the seed. Like I said, we go to Home Depot, we go to Lowe's. The seed bag, Scott's seed or whatever they've got there, it does not say, cannot be used by little children, cannot be used by adults, cannot be used by whatever race, cannot be used if you only have a certain amount of money. The seed works for everybody if you follow the instructions. The only key is follow the instructions. Have ears to hear what the instructions say. And Jesus says here, on the heels of talking about this parable, he says, listen, the key for this whole thing, guys, is you got to hear and really hear what I'm saying. You got to hear. The seed will produce in your life. Come on. Come on. Look at somebody and say, the seed will produce in my life. Tell them that, will you? The seed's going to produce in my life. Yeah. So much so that Jesus is like crazy with this agriculture example. He keeps saying in verse 26, pick it up there. And he said again, the kingdom of God is if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He just said that moments earlier in the parable. But he is like on this thing. This must be pretty important for us, guys. The kingdom of God. Here's how the kingdom works. Here's how the whole system works. It works as if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and by day and rise, and the seed, what's another word for the seed? The word, right? The word should sprout and grow. He himself doesn't know how. For the earth yields crops by itself. First the blade, then the head, then after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately the harvester puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. So he tells us right here, you don't have to try to figure this thing out. You don't have to sit up and wonder, is it going to work? Is it going to work? If I believe God's word, is it really going to work? Is it really going to work? It's going to work. It's going to work. It's going to work for your children when you teach them from a young age how to pray and how to believe God, how to stand against sickness or disease or bullies at school. It's going to work. It's going to work when somebody comes hanging up at your house and tries to take your daughter on a date. Come on, somebody. It's going to work. And she's going to say, that ain't the kind of guy I'm going to hang with. It's going to work when us guys or gals are at work and somebody comes up to us with a shaky business deal, but all of a sudden integrity in our heart because the word is working us. We stay on the high side. It looks like we get demoted, but we stay on the high side. And God does something exceeding abundant above and beyond. The word always works. Partner with Jesus, stay partnered with him, and partner with the word. Come on, everybody. Peter says this in 1 Peter 1:23. He says this seed is incorruptible. Look at this. This is how we're born again. We're born again through a seed that's incorruptible, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. So again, the seed and the Word are the very same thing. And he tells us it's incorruptible. It's indestructible. It's never going to grow old. It's never going to get worn out. It's never going to get worn down. The seed is the living Word of God that will not dissolve. It will not decay. It'll go from strength to strength, glory to glory. The Word of God will keep on keeping on. You just stay connected to the partner. And let's be real. Let's be real. There's going to be some crazy days when you're staying connected with the partner. The partner's going to ask you to do some things that you don't want to do. Just like sometimes when we had our small kids, we say, hey, we're going to Walmart. And they go, we ain't going. You say, yeah, you are going. Kicking, screaming. I don't care. You are going with us to Walmart. Come on, Walmart is like, for me, like going to hell. Or, I'm sorry. It's like, sorry, Dave. I'm sorry, man. It's like, sorry, Dave works at Walmart. It's just so much. He's a manager there. Sorry, Dave. It's just so much. It's so busy. There's so many people. It's like, do we really have to do that? I just want to. But if you got to go somewhere and the kids screaming, kicking, we're going. And your partner will demand certain things of you. He'll demand things of you concerning your life, your lifestyle. He'll demand things of you concerning your thoughts and where you're headed with your life. It's really interesting how this whole cycle works, though, is that it requires us to be connected with Him. Connected with Jesus, who is the seed. Connected with the Word. With the Word. And if you'll just do those two things, then another connection, another partnership that we have should be real easy. Another place that the word seed is used might shock you. How God, through His Word, weaves this into the fabric of the words that He knows are true. In Genesis, we find a principle. It's called the seed principle. Here's what the book of Genesis says. Every seed produces after its own kind. Orange seeds produce orange trees. Wheat seeds produce wheat crop. Every seed produces after its own kind. There's never any mutated or genetic altering with the seed. We know that's true now in our day. But back then, as far as the integrity of the Word of God, God is saying every seed will do exactly what it's supposed to do in its DNA. So we found out that Jesus is called the seed. When you plant Him in your life, so to speak, you acknowledge Him as Lord and Savior, that seed, who He is, will then begin working in your life. Resurrection power will begin working. His wisdom will be working. His knowledge will be working. His insight will be working through the person of the Holy Spirit. When then you take every day, day by day, week by week, month by month, you just begin saturating your life in the Word of God. And you're on a systematic Bible study program. You're listening to CDs. You're watching DVDs. You're listening to the Word of God. The seed of the Word of God will produce continually harvests of crops in areas of your life year after year, month after month. It'll rid you of fear. It'll rid you of healing, of sickness. It'll rid you of disease. It'll take long things standing that have been in your life from a childhood where there's been abuse or there's been neglect or there's been words spoken over you. Just by reading the Word, meditating the Word, that seed will grow up and will choke out every demonic thing that's ever happened to you. It'll do it. But there's a third word in the Bible where it talks about and uses this word seed. Notice what 2 Corinthians 9:10 says. Paul is talking to a church called Corinth. And he says this in the middle of chapter 8 and 9 as he's talking about money and finances and their giving. Notice what he says. Now may He, God, who supplies, notice this, seed to the sower, and bread for food, I pray He would supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Paul says, and God must have said, that's exactly right, Paul. You're writing exactly from my heart because it made it to the Bible. Not only is Jesus called seed, not only is the Word called seed, But then we find that the Bible says our money, our finances are seed. God gives here and supplies to everyone in the room seed to sow and bread to eat. Seed to sow, money to give, and yet bread, money to pay the bills. And it says here, He will then multiply the seed you have sown, and it will bring increase in your life. Money is called seed. Jesus is called seed. The written word is called seed. What we find is that God's asking us in these three areas to partner with Him. In these three areas. Again, we partner with Jesus and we receive salvation. We partner with Him. There is no other name given among men whereby we may be saved, must be saved. It only comes through Jesus. Not our good works, not our religious affiliation, not by what we did when we were children, not by we were raised in North America or brought up in a Christian home. The only way you get saved is through Jesus. Number two, we partner with the Word and we receive spiritual knowledge. We receive understanding. If you want to begin understanding some things where you don't know, you're going to have to find out some stuff in the Word. You're going to have to start reading the Word and getting His thoughts. You're going to have to start listening to godly teaching of the Word of God. In fact, in the book of Colossians, I didn't read this earlier, but in Colossians chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, Paul's writing to a church and he says this. We got that guy's back there, Colossians 1, 6 and 7. He's talking about the Word that came to them. Look at this. We got it up there? Look at this. He said, the Word that has come to you, it's also coming to all the world. The Word is now. And the Word is bringing forth fruit, as it has also among you since the day you heard it and you knew the grace of God in truth, as which you learned it from this guy, Epaphras, our dear fellow servant. He's a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf. Notice how he says the progress is. He says, number one, notice what it says. You heard the Word. He says, you heard the Word. Then number two, you came to know about the Word. You heard it, and then knowledge began coming in your life. And he says, number three, you learned it from Epaphras. You learned it. So listen to me. Then probably for most of us, the number one way you're going to hear, the number one way you're going to know, and the number one way you're going to learn is through the local church. So that's why it's so important to keep coming to church. Hear the Word of God. Get your kids in the classes downstairs. I tell you what, I talk to kids and I talk to visitors who come to the church, guests who come, you know, every week, and I call them and I say, hey, you know, if they have kids, and they say, our kids beg us to come back because they love what's going on down there. Because we just don't give them sugar highs. We give them the Word. Come on, everybody. The Word is what's going to change their life and the Word is what's going to change your life. Listen, but there's a process. You got to hear it. You got to know it. And you got to learn it. You got to learn it. Come on, say it with me. Jesus is the seed. The Word is the seed. Money is the seed. Go with me over to Genesis chapter 12. Let's look there. Genesis 12. Genesis 12. Let's look at verse 1 and 2. Let's look there. God comes out of nowhere, so to speak, and starts talking with this guy named Abram. Later changed his name to Abraham. Notice what he tells him. Verse 1. The Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and I'll make your name great and you'll be a blessing. And I'll bless those who bless you and I'll curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. How many of you believe that God is asking this man to be in partnership with Him? He says, I'm going to show you some things. I'm going to make you into something you're not. And He says, you know what? If you let me show you some things, if you let me make you to be who I've called, you know, what desire to make you, what's going to produce in your life is something called a blessing. I will bless you. I will bless you. We find that Abram is an amazing guy. And later on, you're going to read there in chapter 13 that this guy just starts prospering. He's a businessman. He's a herdsman. He's got flocks and herds, cattle, goats and sheep, probably some camels, maybe some donkeys. He's multiplying. He's prospering. In fact, the Bible uses this phrase that'll make you twitch a little bit. Maybe some people. It says Abram was very rich. What made Abram very rich? Well, he was evidently a pretty smart guy. He was a businessman. We find out, and we'll look at this story in chapter 13 and chapter 14 in just the next couple minutes, that when one of his relatives got in trouble, he had 318 trained servants. You got 318 staff, you got it going on. Come on, you got it going on. So the brother's got some natural skill, but we're not just talking about natural things. We're talking about what happens when he then partners with God. God calls this guy. He's barren. He can't produce any fruit. His wife's barren. Her womb can't produce any fruit. And he's got a desire to have offspring. And God starts calling him and speaking what he's going to do in his life along a spiritual line. Listen to me. If you'll follow God spiritually, it will always affect naturally. If you follow God spiritually, it will always affect you naturally. Meaning there's going to be things, though, listen to me, there's going to be things that challenge my natural thinking that I'm going to have to unhook from here, and I'm going to have to put on my spiritual mind, or the Bible, New Testament says, the mind of Christ, or I'm going to have to renew my mind with His Word so that what He wants me to do spiritually will show up in my natural. There's a blending, there's a connection. There's a blending. The seed is Jesus. The seed is the Word. The seed is our finances, our money that we use for kingdom purposes. There's a blending. And if God is my God and I'm in partnership with Him, He gets all of me, but I get all of Him. Man, He got the short end of the stick. Come on, somebody. But evidently, He's okay with that because He believes in you and He believes in me. And if He's going to get what He wants to get done on the earth, guess what He needs? You and me. And so He is just connected to you and me regardless of what happens. Because when you read the Old Testament, you read the New Testament, we got God using crazy folk. We got Elijah who says, I'm the only one left, man. I'm going to run away from God. We got Jonah running from God like we talked about weeks ago. We got Moses breaking the commandments. We got Moses saying, kill the people. Come on, somebody. Moses killed a person, dug a hole, buried him in it. We got some murders going on in the Bible, but yet seems like God's okay with some of that. He still uses people. They might go to jail. They might do some stuff like that, but He's amazing God at recovering second chances. It's amazing. And so God uses this guy called Abram, and he a couple times tries to pawn off his wife. Probably not a good idea, you know, for us guys. He tries to pawn her off. You know, he says, tells his wife, you know, hey, babe, you're really pretty. We're going to go with the Egyptians. The Egyptians like pretty women. So let's just say I'm your brother and you're my sister. They'll take you. You know, that'll be all right. We'll hope you get back, but they won't kill me. It worked out, but, you know, it's probably not the best, but it worked out. Notice what it says in chapter 13 of Genesis, verse 3 and 4. God calls this guy. God's working in this guy's life. He's in partnership with him. It says in Genesis 13, 3 and 4, from Negev, they continued traveling by stages toward Bethel. This is Abram. This is all his stuff. This is his family. This is all his belongings. He's obeying God. They pitched their tents between Bethel and Ai, where they had camped before. And this was the same place where Abram had built the altar. Notice that's key. Same place Abram had built the altar. And there he worshiped the Lord again. The key that you're going to find to Abram's success was not just a word from God that he got one time. Wasn't just a natural connection or somehow God has got magic pixie dust and making everything this guy does to kind of turn to gold and so he prospered. Abram, his success was hinged on his connection with God. His worship to God. He connected with God continually, year after year, month after month, even going through difficult times. His spiritual life with Jehovah God remained constant. You read the story, won't take time to read it. Read chapter 13 this week, or maybe read it before you go to bed today. You'll get it done in 10 minutes. But the story says that Abram, remember, God's prospering him, and everything's working well. Amazing. The seed of who God called him to be is working. Remember, he said, I'm going to show you where to go. I'm going to make you something you're not, and I'm going to bless you. And whenever there's a blessing, it's going to show up in all kinds of realms. One of the realms it'll show up is economically. It'll show up that way. And so he's prospering so much, the Bible says he's got a nephew named Lot. And the as ranchers or herdsmen, they're prospering. The animals evidently are eating down the land. If you've ever seen goats can take out acres at a time, the land's becoming barren. And it says that they can't support, the land can't support them. And so it actually says that there was strife between the herdsmen of Lot and the herdsmen of Abram. And it's really interesting that I find how the Bible talks about that. That it's, again, that I've seen for so many people, when increase happens in people's lives, instead of being a blessing, it winds up being a curse. They don't know how to handle money. It's like we said before, money is a great tool, but it's a terrible master. And so there's strife between these guys, and it's hurting them. It's hurting Abram and Lot's relationship. And so Abram just looks at his nephew and he says, listen, choose the land you want to go. Go to wherever you want to go, man. Do whatever you want to do. And so the Bible says that Lot looks at the well-watered plains of Sodom. Anybody ever heard of Sodom? Got a sister city called Gomorrah. He looks over there and says, that's where I want to go. It's the best looking land. It's the most productive land. But Abram says to him, go and I'll stay here. I'll figure this thing out. Write it down. I put it on the screen behind you so I hope you never forget it. The world will captivate the unpartnered. All of a sudden, Lot breaks his partnership, if you will, with Abram. The world, Sodom and Gomorrah, type of the world, is alluring and looks good and looks wonderful and drags this unsuspecting young one and all his stuff to come to its city. And he shows up there and we find out he puts some roots down there. He's got kids there. He's got a wife there. And we find out later that God, you know, later on, chapters later, rains down hail and fire and burns up the city. This guy winds up getting out. You know, God's miraculously, you're going to find in the story, we haven't got to take time to read all of it today, but it's an amazing time how this guy who unpartnered from his uncle, unpartnered from Abram, he has to be twice rescued. Twice. Any of you that have children or brothers or people, sisters that you prayed for, that you've rescued out of hell per se, rescued out of the world, but then they wind up going back in? They don't stay partnered with the people that can help them. Listen, that's just a warning for all of us. A warning for all of us to stay connected to where we need to be, to stay planted where we need to be, to stay rooted with Jesus, to stay partnered with His Word, and to stay partnered with believers who are going to help us. Well, we find out that this guy, wow, he's there, and we don't know exactly what's going on in the city till we read it kind of later on, all the hidden crazy stuff that's going on. But for us today, let me just ask you, who are you partnered to? Or what are you partnered to? Are you partnered solely with your job? Are you partnered with just making money? Are you partnered with the Word? Are you partnered with church? Are you partnered with your serving? Are you partnered with God in prayer? Are you partnered with your giving? The world will captivate the unpartnered. You have to fight to stay connected and partnered. And if you'll be partnered, there's always a blessing that comes with it in every realm. So Lot leaves, right? He's gone. And I'm sure Abram's sitting there going, you know, here we go again. Wow, God. Seems like I got the short end of the stick again. After he leaves, God says to Abram, hey, buddy, it's not over. Look north, south, east, and west. All the land you see, which is key for vision, all the land you see, I'm going to give you. So Abram starts looking. And sure enough, we're going to find that God gives him all the land as his inheritance and for the inheritance of his kids. So can I tell you something? When you're partnered with God, it doesn't make a difference if it looks like loss. God will turn it around. God will turn it around. Come on. God makes all things new. Come on, somebody. He makes all things new. He's got an amazing track record. Well, here we go. Chapter 14. Don't turn there. Here we are. Genesis 14. Lot's mind, or Abram's mind, his own business. All of a sudden, he gets a running errand. I was going to say a text message. That wasn't working back then. He gets a call. Wasn't working back then. Somebody runs up and tells him, hey, your nephew Lot has been captured. Five army kings have come in and they've swooped down on Sodom and they've taken Lot, his wife, the kids, and everybody in Sodom, all this stuff, and they've tracked off. Abram then gets his 318 trained servants, packs them up, and goes after them. Goes after them. And the Bible says he beats off the enemy and he recovers all their stuff. So get the picture. It says he tracked after them all night. All night, and rescues this unpartnered guy again. Rescues him. Brings him back. And so they're walking the trail. It's probably daylight because he went all night, defeated the enemy, and they're bringing all their stuff back to Sodom. And as soon as probably daylight hits, we get this encounter that never before has happened. That's almost like, what is really going on here? That the book of Hebrews then talks about, the writer of Hebrews talks about this guy, this Old Testament guy named Melchizedek. Abram's got a sword. Abram's sweaty. There's smell. There's army smell. There's guys that are probably bleeding. They're carrying probably some guys that were killed. They've got animals. They've got stuff. They're bringing it all back. There's a pack of dust. And all of a sudden, this guy named Melchizedek comes out of nowhere and meets Abram. Pick it up in chapter 14, verse 18. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of the Most High God. Verse 19. And he blessed him. He, Melchizedek, blessed Abram and said, blessed be Abram of God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth. Verse 20. And blessed be God, Melchizedek says, God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And he, Abram, gave him, Melchizedek, a tithe of all. Get the picture. He's just done battle. He's coming back with all this stuff. He's in partnership, Abram, with God, the Word, the seed. And here, this high priest brings out bread and wine. Anybody kind of think about what bread and wine is synonymous with? Communion. We see the communion being brought. We see the communion meal means I am a supernatural partner, not in this life by myself. I'm a supernatural partner with Jesus Christ, His power, His death, His life, and His resurrection. And so Melchizedek brings out bread and wine. Bread and wine. And in the middle of all that, he pronounces a blessing on Abram. And he says, you are blessed by the God Most High. But let me tell you something else though here, Abram. You didn't get it just by yourself. You got it because you're partnered with God. It's not because you've got the sharpest sword. It's not because you've got 318 trained men. It's not because you've got the fastest chariots. It's because you're partnered with God. And in the middle of all that, Abram gives to God a tithe of everything. He gives to God 10% of all the stuff. Abram has learned to trust a God he can't see, to believe a God he can only hear. We don't know of any physical manifestations. Melchizedek, every writer, every Christian writer, believes that Melchizedek is an antitype of Jesus Christ in his high priestly role, that he's one that went before, and he pronounces this blessing that Abram realizes, I am empowered to prosper in every area of my life. And yet, listen to me, this is a man who still does not have, at this point, the most dearest longing of his heart. He has no child. He has no child. And yet God says, I've blessed you. God says, I've called you. God says, I'll show you. God says, I'll make you. God says, you are my man. Let me bring out bread, and let me bring out the body of Christ, the body and the blood of Christ. Let me bring out the bread and the wine, symbolic of this one who's coming. He gives him a tithe of all. Jesus is the seed. The Word is the seed. Giving money is seed. Listen to me. That when given, the seed when given will produce in your life and for your life things that money can't buy. Just switch the gear with thinking that just because I give money, God's going to give me an extra $10 in my paycheck. Increase comes that way. It does come. Can't get around it. Every seed produces after its own kind. But I do know this, that if you're partnered with God, you're partnered with His Word, you're partnered in relationship with Jesus, and you're partnered with your money, He'll do things for you that money can't. He'll open doors. There'll be supernatural favor. There'll be things that happen with your kids, with your grandkids, things that happen around you that you just scratch your head. And can I tell you what that is working? It's working this one word called you are blessed. Come on. You are blessed. So it would do you good every day that you say what Ephesians 1 verse 3 says, I am blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I am blessed. Not because of me, but because of my partnership with you, Jesus, with your word, and with my giving. I am blessed. Come on, say that with me, will you? I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Look with me, if you will, to 1 Kings chapter 17. Let's go a few more seconds this morning. Have you got a few more moments? 1 Kings chapter 17. We're going to find this partnership is all over the Bible. This partnership with Jesus, this partnership with the Word, and this partnership with your money. This partnership. You know, if anybody, you know, people pay tens of thousands of dollars to get in a room with Warren Buffett, because at his investment company, you know, Berkshire Hathaway, they have year after year, decade after decade, proven that they can cause your money to have a multiplying effect. A multiplying effect. That I believe it's correct. Somebody can tell me later, but don't call me out in the middle of church, since this is my story. I believe if you'll invest your money at an 8% return, that over about between 7 and 8 years, at an 8% return, every 7 to 8 years, your money will double. Your money will double. You put back all the interest. You don't take anything out. Well, this guy, you know, Warren Buffett and his guys, way beat that. And so people that have partnered with him, people that have partnered with, you know, Apple, people that have partnered in stocks or partnered with different companies of investment have caused increase, Listen to me. If that will work in the natural, you mean to tell me when I give to God, it's going to be less than that? It's going to show up in a realm less than that? I'm not just saying I give to God $5,000 this year and in 8 years I'm going to get back $45,000. I don't know how it's going to work, but I can tell you this. It's going to come back to me the way I need it. It's going to come back the way my kids need it, my grandkids need it, so I can be a better and a bigger blessing. That I have what the Bible says, seed or finances to give to every good work that God lays on my heart and your heart. I'm going to have something to give. It'll work. The seed will work. It will produce. Here, let's look at this in chapter 17 real quick. We'll pick this up next week. Let's just give you a little tidbit for next week. How many of y'all plan to come back next week? That's about, wow, that's about a third of the crowd. Wow. I believe you come back. Bring a friend, will you? Huh? Bring a friend. Elijah the Tishbite. He's got a long name, the Tishbite. Come on, if God will use a Tishbite, he can use you. Come on. Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, Ahab's the king, as the Lord God lives before whom I stand, there shall not be dew or rain these years except at my word. Wow. All of a sudden, the rain shut down. You got rain shutting down in this environment back here. There's no irrigation. You are in trouble. Everything dies. It affects the economy. It affects everything. It affects agriculture. It affects the cows, the horses, the sheep. It affects everything. It affects the meat industry. It affects everything and everyone. No rain changes everything. It's not going to rain till I say. Verse 2, the word of the Lord came to Elijah and said, get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. He gives him a direct word, doesn't he? And it will be that you'll drink from the brook. You'll drink from the brook, and I've commanded the ravens to feed you there. You're going to do something naturally. You're going to drink from the brook, but I'm also going to do something supernatural in your life. I've commanded the ravens to feed you there. Now, look what it says. So he went and did.
And he didn't feel nothing while he's wetting and doing.
He's probably going, dear God, I hope I heard from God. I hope it wasn't the carne asada I had last night. My God, here I am. I prophesied this, and I don't know exactly what's going to happen. God, you showed up before, but you know, wow, I'm sure some thoughts were going through his head like go through your head. But he went and did. God said, go. You're going to drink from the brook. There's still water coming out of that brook, buddy. There's no rain coming from heaven, but water's coming out of that brook right now. You're going to drink from the brook. I've commanded the ravens to feed you there. Elijah's probably going back, you know, through Old Testament scrolls, quote unquote, so to speak, that weren't written yet, but kind of going, has God ever used birds anywhere? Has birds ever brought food to prophets? No. You're the first. Thanks. So he went and did. He just went and did. So, Mark chapter 4. We read the seed principle. He sows his seed and he rises by day and he doesn't know how, but the seed produces. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn of the ear, then the harvest is ripe. So, with my partnership with God, my partnership with the word he gives me, I've got to then obey what he's asking me to do. So he went and did. Come on, somebody. And notice what it says, verse 5. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. And he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows down to the Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening. And he drank from the brook. Wow, come on, somebody. How many of this supernatural stuff going on right there? Listen, I call this supernatural. There's supernatural stuff, but this is supernatural. So God's word, think about it, God's word obediently followed always brings God's supply. God's word obediently followed always brings God's supply. Now what I know about God is he never shows up early. And he'll make you sweat, so to speak, until the very last. But God always shows up. He always shows up. And so we have this story where this prophet is fed miraculously in a drought. And we find in the Bible that God's no respecter of persons. That anyone who partners with God, partners with Jesus, partners with his word, and partners in their giving, partners in their obedience to do what God's called them to do, God will always supply. The story ends here in this part of our Bibles that says we just read it, the end part, verse 7, and it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there was no rain in the land. At this point, most people lose their mind. At this point, we start saying, God, didn't you give me the job? Didn't you give me the raise? And today, I got the pink slip. God, didn't you promise me this? God, didn't you say that? And I believed you, and I believed the word, and I've given, and it looks like I got nothing coming out of my pockets now. The brook
dried up. And let me tell you here, if anybody tells you the brook ain't never going to dry up, they're lying through their teeth. The brook will always dry up. Because God is getting ready to move you to something else. It requires faith. It looks like it's not working. It looks like there's nothing happening. It looks like I keep knocking and the doors keep slamming. It requires faith. We'll pick up here next week. God's got another word for Brother Elijah. And God's got another word for you next week. Come on. Say it with me. I'm going to partner with God in salvation. I'm going to partner with the Word and gain knowledge. I'm going to partner with my giving and have increase. Father, let it be so today. Let it be so. Father, we thank you today for the Word. We thank you for the seed, Jesus. We thank you for our giving, even as it says in the book of Acts, comes up as a memorial for you. Father, we believe the Word's working mightily. The Word's increasing. The power of Jesus in the new birth is working in us, even right now, as we're in this auditorium. The power of your Word, as we heard today, it's seed. It's going into our hearts, the soil of our hearts, and it's producing today 30, 60, 100 fold. It's increasing in us, oh God. And Father, our giving, as we've given to you sacrificially, not only today, but year after year, it's producing eternal dividends. Father, we look to you. We look to you. I pray for every person that might find themselves today, as we read right here with Elijah, beside a brook that's dried up. I say to them, as we said a moment ago, have hope, have faith, have confidence, have assurance that God will never, ever leave you or let you down. He'll hold you up. His Word will come alive to your spirit. His Word will come alive in your soul. And He'll bring you on to another place of glory. You'll see a door open. You'll see a relationship restored. You'll see a call that comes your way. You'll see a blessing from an unexpected source. God has multiple ways of showing up in your life. The supernatural things where we have ravens bringing bread and ravens bringing meat are extraordinarily supernatural. But the supernatural power of the Word, Father, always works day after day, week after week. It's working in us right now. So I pray that every person in this room and that'll listen online to this message gains great confidence in their spirit and gets strengthened with might to go and obey God. Elijah was blessed as he went. Abram, as he went to recover Lot and all of his possessions, he was blessed. We thank you, Father, today. In your precious name, can you say amen? Come on, stand up, everybody. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Did you get something today, everybody? Good. Come on, seed's working. It's working in you. We'll have some prayer partners up here right after the service closes, just the next 60 seconds. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we want to encourage you, leave your seat right after we dismiss everybody. Come up here, talk to somebody. We want to pray for you. We want to introduce you into the person who can change your life, Jesus Christ. If you're away from God, maybe you've known Him.